You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We've reached the final hour of our program, and we begin with a murderer's row of callers, starting with Larry.
What's up?
Larry.
How are you, Paul?
The one and only.
Yeah, baby. Hey, the brat don't send me my beer, my 12-pack, Jack.
Hey, did we give Brad your address today? Brad is in sole possession of your address.
Yeah, baby. He's forgetting something. There's a little $100 bill got to go down somewhere.
Well, I don't know. Is that part of the bet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey,
well,
$100.
We will hold Brad hostage to that.
Yeah.
I would think Brad's out of money right now as often as he bet against Alabama this year.
Hey, guess what, man? I hate to take a dollar a punch. You know, 1 point, 2 point, 3 point, 4. 5 point, 7 point, more. Hey, that boy won't be able to take one. Check it out. He ain't never been in no damn fight. Hell, no barroom fight. No. Check it out, Paul Feinbaum. I'll tell you what, Georgia, and I'm going to tell this to Dale. Dale, if your boy hadn't opted out on Oklahoma and whooped their ass, then they would have been in. And I firmly believe that. But I think Kirby took the sissy way out and played a team that couldn't pull PP out of a boot. And that's why they didn't get him. That, don't you think, Paul?
Yeah, I think it was a small mitigating factor, and it always bugged me that they could not find a solution. They could have played Oklahoma at a neutral site. I asked the athletic director that. It would have been very simple to play in Dallas or Atlanta, and they chose not to do that.
That cost them. I'll tell you something, and Texas had lost the game already, man. So, and who beat them? Wasn't it Oklahoma?
Yeah, it sure was.
Okay. Boom, you're in, Georgia. But bang, you ain't now. And Dale, you're a big old crybaby sissy. You come on here and talk trash to me and talk about number three. You see how that worked out? Worked out real good, Daryl. Worked out real good. Thank you for number three. And I'll tell you something, Paul Feinbaum, these people crying. I watched that playoff show with Florida State and Louisville. That was pitiful. They scored. They didn't hadn't scored but 12 points in three quarters of football. Come on, man. People got to be kidding themselves. That's been embarrassing. But, hey, man, I'm loving it, man. You really handling it, baby. You said, where's J.K.? He ain't come back.
Well, Larry, you've been in those barroom fights. You got to get your jaw wired back together before you can talk.
Hey, you got that jaw jacked up by the fall. Woo! Shows you, baby. You've been in them barroom fights.
Oh, yeah.
You can duke it,
sir. Randy and I have cleaned out a couple of bars.
Yeah, if you can't fight, baby, you can run. I used to tell my mother when I was little, I was real fat. And I'd say, I'm too fat to fight, mama. Hey, I'll tell you what, I'll bet you. I bet you might not whoop me, but I bet you could outrun the asses. You like to win. You get that win behind that skinny ass, son, you can set a world record, 100 yards.
I think I have.
Ooh, I love you, brother. Take care, Paul.
Thanks, Larry. That's a happy Larry. And if you think that guy was happy, legend is next.
What's up, my black hat brother? What's going on, baby?
Legend.
Hey, Paul, I want to know one thing, man. I want to know one thing. From the bottom of my black college football heart, I want to know how the hell Nick Saban ain't coach of the year. How the hell? How the hell is this going on, man? How many trophies should the man have in his room right now?
Well, come on now. He lost to a guy who lost to LSU and Georgia. Shouldn't that mean something? Oh, I'm sorry. I got the story wrong.
I mean, come on. Is that enough credit for you, Missouri? You finished second in the SEC East, and it was so historic finishing second in the SEC East that you coached one coach of the year.
Well, the SEC coach of the year is for deserving, not best.
Well, that's baloney. What the hell is an award for? Ain't it supposed to be for the best? When you give out the Collar of the Year award, it's for the best collar, ain't it? I mean,
Legend, that is not true, Legend. Because the guy that won Collar of the Year this year, no way he's the best caller.
Definitely wasn't the best.
He is not the best caller. I'm still not sure how the guy won, and we're in charge of the contest.
Man, I don't know either. I'll tell you what it was. They just didn't want to see me win.
Well, I think that's it. I think it was a...
an Alabama conspiracy.
I think we let the CFP pick it.
Yeah, the CFP picked it. They picked Cat Daddy's drunk ass in his moonshine in South Carolina. And let me tell you something, Cat Daddy. You tell old Clemson Tom, the eyes of Texas don't want to be upon me now. They wish they'd never seen my ass in a playoff. You think Michigan swallowed their tongue when Alabama came up? I promise you, when we popped up behind Texas, old Shark said, oh, hell, they had to put Nick back in there. They could have left Nick out of it. They could have gave me a chance to win this thing right here, baby. Paul, you know what I've been doing all day?
What's that?
I've been telling Georgia, get the hell out of the guest house up here on the mountaintop. Evicted! Get off the mountaintop! You know what they told me? So there was a bunch of junk left over that Dabo had left behind when I run his ass off the mountaintop, along with some of LSU stuff, along with some of Gus Malzahn stuff. I've run many people off this mountaintop. Paul, how many coaches have Nick Saban ran off the mountaintop that was the next great coach, the great Nick Saban, the successor? How many is it now, Paul? Half dozen? Six, seven, eight? How many of the coaches are they now, Paul?
It's way up there.
It's way up there, brother. I'm going to tell you something about Michigan, Paul. When they lost Zach Minter, that was a big damn loss.
It was. You're right.
Michigan.
I haven't even thought about that.
Yeah, you know, they only rushed for like 70 yards against Iowa.
He had an ACL, didn't he? He's done.
Yeah, he's gone. That's a big damn loss. They didn't rush for 70 yards against Iowa in the Big Ten championship.
They struggled in the first half against Iowa.
They did. And I'm going to tell you something else. They can't take the top off. They can't throw the ball deep. Everything they do is 10, 15 yards down the field. And if Alabama can sit on you 10, 15 yards in, Alabama will completely destroy you, Paul. They will eat you for lunch if you can't. Michigan can't extend the field. Now they lost their best lineman. Oh, we're going to beat the hell out of you, Michigan. I'm going to enjoy every damn second of it. And Manuel! You thought he had got rid of me, but Doc Holliday is coming back into town. And let me tell you something, brother. I don't give a LeBron that you won the earlier match. I'm back for revenge. Love you, Paul. Woo! Elf.
Thanks. We do not set this up, I promise you. But I asked the audience this question. After hearing what you just got through hearing, any wagers on who the next caller is? Cat Daddy is next.
Greetings and salutations, Big Paul. And I ain't too much worried about religion. I don't think he's ever took a snap for Alabama, so he's just another fan like the rest of us all are. But what I call was Clemson Tom come in the liquor store today, and he says the governor of Sandusky down there in Florida wants to sue because they wouldn't let Florida State in.
That is correct. Yeah, I read that in some publication.
Well, a lot of folks coming in tonight, they are still upset about it. They're all a bunch of them upset about it. One thing to Georgia ought to be in there, they only got one loss. And with two lost teams is what's got most folks upset. But personally, Mr. Feinbaum, I think it's all been set up to make sure that Alabama plays Michigan because they know the world will watch that game. Am I on conspiracy?
You know what? I think the Michigan Alabama game will have a bigger audience than the national championship game.
Absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
And there's a lot of reasons for it. It's a better game, but it starts at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on New Year's Day, while the national championship game is on a Monday night the next week. It's a normal work night, and people finally, 10 o'clock in New York and where you live, they finally say, you know what, I've had enough. I have to get up at 4 in the morning.
Well, as Junior always says, follow the money and you'll find out why.
And what time, by the way, everybody, what time is Junior's store open in the morning?
Well, at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, you can't open a liquor store early, can you?
No, sir. Yeah, with 10 to 7 here in South Carolina.
Okay. You got to let everybody sober up before they can go back and get drunk again.
You about got that right, but I think Larry and Legend had that soaked up all tonight by themselves.
Well, it's great to hear from you, Cat Daddy. We head to the break. More fun and tomfoolery right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
We're back and Larry is up next in Florida. Hello, Larry.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great.
I have much respect for Coach Saban and Alabama and the SEC, but you said something that sort of bothered me a little bit. You said that the Orange Bowl, and if Georgia won, it would put this thing to bed. And think that's a little disingenuous, since neither team will have probably a lot of their actual star players.
Yeah, you know what? It was actually a lot disingenuous, so I agree with you. I think sometimes narratives are created, though, by fans, whether it's meaningful or not. And I think if Georgia won that game, they would use it the same way Alabama fans have used injuries in the past. So, yeah, I'll concede that. It was just a throwaway line that probably really didn't make any sense.
Yeah, and I just wish we could have seen what Florida State would have done with Ronnemaker. And
yeah,
you know, I think
I agree.
I think it would have been interesting to see. They consistently come back the second half, and they were consistent in the championship game. They took a knee at the end of the game.
Hey, Larry, I will take Florida State's defense with me anywhere.
Yeah, well,
I mean, it's really high caliber.
But the other point I want to make is, in the championship game, they took a knee at the end of the game at, what, they're on a 22-yard line or something like that. They took a couple of knees.
Should not have. Should have rubbed it in.
If people were looking for more points, they could have had 23 points easily, because they were on a roll and Louisville had pretty much packed it in at that point.
Well, I appreciate you getting that deep into the game. I didn't make it to the final play.
Yeah, I know. It was hard to watch. I agree. But
I'd already taken out my.
I appreciate your time. And
thank you. I just hope
that the Georgia-Florida State game is a good game.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I did not make it to the final play. I'd already gotten my Alabama gear out and went outside and started dancing. Augie is here next.
You were probably taking that Greg Sankey check and running down to the liquor store to celebrate.
Yeah, I was. I stopped at the store on the way home from Atlanta. I was celebrating that, regardless of Alabama.
Wouldn't you like to just walk in and visualize this liquor store and just see it in its setting and the clientele come and go? I mean, I think you're the kind of guy that would like to go inside incognito and just observe the happenings inside this liquor store.
You know, it's really too bad. We didn't make it to Columbia this year, but I would have gone by. You want to? It's not that far from here, is it? Why don't we drive down there one day and surprise Cat Daddy?
You ought to do your show from the front of the liquor store.
Can you imagine doing this program from a? They call them package stores, don't they?
Package stores, or in Virginia they call them ABC. They used to call
ABC.
ABC stores.
Alcohol.
Like, what is that?
Back in the day, growing up, you had a friend. He said, "I'm going down to the liquor store."
Well, you know, in New Orleans, we just go down to the old Schwegman's or Dornak's and buy our liquor there. There's no rules against getting it. But Paul, you admire people who are steadfast in their beliefs, stalwart, persistent.
Sure.
You know, I do have a complaint about your show. You focus too much on the Deep South SEC. You really ignore Missouri, Paul. And I don't think a day can go by.
Okay, if I could interrupt, that is by design.
I know it is. You're doing this purposely to torment this.
Yeah, I like Missouri, but I don't like John from Missouri. So we purposely do everything we can to irritate him.
Did you see how he led you into the second ring and then all of a sudden he busted open the curtain in the third ring? I don't think you were expecting his next statement to just attack you.
He's so crafty.
He was like, Mr. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He came right out and jumped on it again. So you got to admire.
I think there's a psychological description for his disorder.
Now, I really believe you felt perturbed about all that.
What do they always say in full disclosure? I don't know what that means, yesterday I was finally at the end of the rope. Not for this show, but I think the Monday had been a more demanding day than I had forecast. And
how could you not have forecasted Monday?
Well, I didn't. I expected the usual things. I knew I would do X number of ESPN. I did not count on the 6 o'clock MSNBC interview and the 10 o'clock CNN interview. Those are the ones that that completely shattered. And then back up early Tuesday morning with Greeny ranting about how Florida, you know, by, what are we doing? Figure skating here?
That was a good interview. Greeny was in it. You gotta give it to Greeny. That was a good take.
Yeah. And,
whether you agree with him or not.
Yeah, no, and the thing about Greeny, and I think Greeny's the best guy I've ever dealt with, because it doesn't matter whether you agree or you disagree. It doesn't matter whether you think he even believes it or not. He sells it.
Right. He does. He really sold it. So
I think Greeny, prediction, I think Greeny would have also been as outraged had Alabama not gotten in.
And I'm sure he could make the argument for outrage over Georgia not being in. But
he would have been outraged. That's the key to Greeny's career. He's outraged about something.
Well, Paul, I'm outraged because I found out yesterday I probably missed one of the biggest events of the Christmas season, and that was
the Christmas parade
in Red Bay. Now, you know what Joe failed to tell us? Joe was in the parade.
He was afloat.
He was on the float with Santa Claus, and he was dressed as an elf. Joe has elf-like features, don't you think? I mean, he looks like a little elf out in the field. Put a little elf hat on him.
I guess I have met Joe. He's not an elf.
Well, he looks elfish, and that's a compliment. It's a compliment. Joe's going to think I'm making fun of him, but I'm not. But, Paul, did you see the best personality?
You guys
in
your parish, do you have Christmas parades?
Parts of the town, they have Christmas parades, but it's not a big deal. You know what's big in New Orleans, of course, Mardi Gras, but St. Joseph's Day.
But Augie, I remember growing up, we would go to these things in the neighborhood or wherever.
Yeah, but I didn't know Red Bay's was so well done, so I need to put it on the list for next year.
I've been to Red Bay.
So I'm heading up there, but I...
Red Bay is the home, I think, of one of the largest... What's there?
Mobile home manufacturers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and then Tammy Wynette from there, didn't we? We had this discussion
one day.
But Paul, did you see the list of the best media personalities by Big Game Boomer?
Have not seen it.
You're number 27.
Oh, wow.
You know who's ahead of you?
I'm sure.
Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen is 26.
There's some lists I pay more attention to. That's probably not the one that I sit around every year waiting for the envelope.
But listen, I
respect all of my teammates at ESPN. I'm not going to make a crack about Dan Mullen or anyone else.
Well, hey, Harper's 35, so there you go. And Barrett Salee's 11. So Paul,
Barrett's,
you've got a lot of catching up.
I didn't mean to laugh out loud that Barrett Salee was 11. Are you serious?
Well, Danny Cannell is 25. Yes.
Oh well.
Two spots behind Laura. Laura's 23.
Yeah. This would be like this would be a list like putting Taylor Swift 38th.
Well, they got Brando 8, so you got
well,
a lot of
there you go.
To do.
Then
make hay, Paul.
I think the summation from this list would be I had a pretty bad year.
I think you've fallen.
I'm
but you're ahead of Reese Davis, so there you go.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm down in. I don't even know what's comparable. I'm gonna stop while I'm behind.
Hey, T-Bob Hebert was 100. But, Paul, great to have Jim back. You got your number one man back. Just don't alienate him.
No, I
keep him on.
I wish for good tidings in the new year, and I'm going to get Archbishop Marino on here in a couple of days.
Yes. When is he coming on?
It will probably be the week after next.
Okay.
Yeah, we're here for a while this year. A lot of times we shut down early, but I think we're here up – almost up until Christmas. Christmas is on a Monday. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, anyway, Paul, roll tide, roll.
Okay.
And, take care.
Over and out. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play.
And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Kevin is up next in Florida. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing? First-time caller. Love what you're doing for college football. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So I just kind of have a logical call here, thinking about the Georgia-Florida State matchup.
Right.
And looking at it on paper, yeah, we're going to have some of the athletes that opt out. I still think it's going to be a reflection of where the program's at with the young athletes playing behind them. And then another thing I'd like to point out is being here in Florida, you know, I've had to listen to social media and so many people whining about FSU not making the playoffs. Had the University of Florida upset FSU, don't you feel like they would have used the excuse that Jordan wasn't available for that game?
I think that's possible, yes.
So right now the excuse for FSU against the Georgia matchup is that, oh, we're going to lose athletes that opt out for the NFL. So it's kind of a double standard to me, and I just wanted to see what your thoughts were.
Yeah,
I haven't heard anybody really talk about
it. I think
that.
When you get to situations like this, you just bring whatever argument fits your point of view, and that's really too bad, but that's the nature of it all. Hey, thank you very, very much. AJ is up next.
Paul Feinbaum. Are you going to sit there, literally, you're going to sit there and let Legend call in with that razzmatazz?
Why not?
I'm talking about Nick Saban, coach of the year. I mean, come on. The bottom line, Legend, is Alabama sitting where they are right now. They got saved because Auburn dropped a punt. We wouldn't even be having this conversation, Feinbaum. Alabama wouldn't even be in the mix, wouldn't even be talked about, and all the bowl game, the playoff chaos would be solved. But enjoy your time on the mountain, Legend, because this is the last go-around. Because Auburn's building a damn excavator down there, and we're going to make that mountain a molehill. And you can take that to the bank. And Augie, by listening to you and your call, I'm convinced that I know. I seen a picture of you down there on Bourbon Street Corner. You was licking the damn sidewalks clean with a tip cup in your hand. War damn eagle.
Oh, how weak. I mean, he's now blaming it on the poor guy who dropped the punt. Why don't you blame your defensive coordinator, AJ? Easily the worst coverage I've ever seen in all the years I've watched football. Matt is in Georgia. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Paul. Good evening. How are you, sir?
You're doing great. Thank you. Good evening.
Paul, there's so much I'd love to talk to you about, but I know our time is limited, so I'm just going to try to ask a couple of highlights. Raised in Georgia and Tennessee, so I'm actually a Georgia and a Tennessee fan. But one of the questions I have for you, sir, is did you happen to catch the article, I think it was printed yesterday, about how the ranking of Tennessee, which I believe is 21 right now, was planned, so to speak, to help Alabama and the committee come to their decision. Did you see that article by chance?
No.
Okay, well, I tried to pull it up while I was waiting, but I couldn't. But do you – I know you're from Tennessee as well. Do you – what's your take on that? I mean, it's got to be a
– Well, Matt, so I'm trying to understand here. So you're saying the committee put Tennessee where it did to help Alabama?
To make Alabama look better. When they came
I don't see. I don't think Tennessee was a really. I don't think that win really mattered very much for this reason. Alabama already had wins over Ole Miss. That's a big win. LSU, big win. They're both are in the top 13, and then they obviously had the win over the number one team. So I think when you know, those three wins really counted a great deal. I think by the time you get down to top 25 wins. Florida State had a few of those as well, but Florida State did not have anything that came close to what Alabama had. 11 and 13. Those were big wins.
So my other question is do you think Tennessee is on the right track? Obviously, a Tennessee and a Georgia fan, but I love the underdog. Last year, I was so happy and proud of the Vols. This year, not quite so much. I was wondering if you.
Yeah, Matt. The answer is yes, I do. I was up in Knoxville twice this year, so I had a pretty good sample of what's going on. I was disappointed in the year primarily because I expected more from Joe Milton, and I feel good about the future. I think the incoming quarterback is really exciting, and the recruiting is better than I think it's been in many many years. I think Josh Heupel, I mean, there were a couple of moments that I would disagree with in terms of play calling, but he was trying to, unlike some coaches who are stubborn and just keep calling the same thing, whether they have the talent or not, he was trying to adapt. And I felt they survived the A&M game, whether they really should have or not. I think they had a legitimate shot at beating Alabama, and they let it get away.
Well, it's good to hear you actually to say that because I kind of felt the same way. But of course, friends of mine that are Alabama fans did not agree with me. So
no, I of all the games at Tennessee, the Georgia game was never in doubt. The Missouri game was an abomination. Tennessee had no business losing to Florida either. That to me was the most inexcusable loss of the year.
What was that to you? I just have to ask, since I have you for this brief amount of time, what was that to you? What do you think that was? I'm still clueless.
I just think they were struggling. I think they let the environment overwhelm them a little bit, and you know they couldn't. I'm trying to remember the game now. They just simply Florida had at the time. Florida had a few things going for it, not much, but a few. And I think Mertz hurt them a couple of times. Milton couldn't make anything go his way. And, yeah, they also made some very early turnovers in the game that just you turn the ball over in the swamp and suddenly you are in a much tougher environment than you should be. But if you go back – but I think they could have made that up. I felt like in the Alabama game there was one call by Heupel that literally blew my head off. And I'm trying to remember, was it when he went for it or didn't go for it? I think it was when he went for it. I thought that was the wrong time to do that. They still had the game in decent shape. And I thought I thought their defense was good enough. And that, by the way, what we're talking about here, and I'm for Alabama fans who are going, hey, hold on a second. At that moment in time, I think Tennessee and Alabama were fairly even. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so Tennessee was up 13-7, and Jamari's telling me this. I don't remember it, I can assure you. They were on their own 34 and went for it. They missed it, and then they did it again. Or was that the one I'm thinking of? Okay, that was the one. I thought Heupel totally blew the momentum in the game, and he lost the game right there. And I think he could have won the game had he been a little more
aggressive.
Not aggressive, but just a little smarter.
Yeah, well, that's true. So, Well, that's good to hear. I really appreciate your time. And like I said, and I know you've got other callers. I don't want to keep you. You can address this later. But I'm very curious what you think about the SEC. We continue to get more teams. You've got Texas. And it seems like everyone wants to come to the SEC. And at some point, you just wonder, you know, where does the Southeast actually end? You know, are we getting too many teams?
But remember, it's a big conference now with Texas and Oklahoma, but you compare it to the ACC, which goes from Boston to California, through Dallas, all the way down to Miami, all the way up the East Coast. I mean, that's absurd. Same for the Pac-12. But I think the SEC has gotten, it's big, but it's, you know, somebody who does a moderate amount of flying, it's still reasonable where, you know, going from Berkeley, California, which is essentially San Francisco, down to Miami or...
Yes, sir.
I mean, the ACC makes no sense to me whatsoever. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.